Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thus being fixed, one must render service unto the Super Soul situated in one's own heart by His omnipotency, because He is the Almighty Personality of Godhead, eternal and unlimited. He is the ultimate goal of life, and by worshipping Him, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of existence. Purport. It's almost a two-page purport, so please bear with me. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 18:61, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the all-pervading, omnipresent Super Soul. Therefore, one who is a yogi can worship only Him, because He is substance and not illusion. Every living creature is engaging in a service of something else. A living being's constitutional position is to render service. But in the atmosphere of maya or illusion, or the conditional state of existence, the conditioned soul seeks the service of illusion. A conditioned soul works in the service of his temporary body, bodily relatives like the wife and children, and the necessary paraphernalia for maintaining the body and the bodily relations, such as the house, land, wealth, society, and country. But he does not know that all such renderings of service are totally illusory. As we have discussed many times before, this material world is itself an illusion, like a mirage in a desert. In the desert, there is an illusion of water, and the foolish animals become entrapped by such an illusion and run after water in the desert, although there is no water at all. But because there is no water in the desert does not conclude that there is no water at all. The intelligent person knows well that there is certainly water, water in the seas and oceans, but such vast reservoirs of water are far, far away from the desert. One should therefore search for water in the vicinity of seas and oceans and not in a desert. Every one of us is searching after real happiness in life, namely eternal life, eternal or unlimited knowledge, and unending blissful life. But foolish people who have no knowledge of the substance search after the reality of life in the illusion. This material body does not endure eternally. And everything in relation with this temporary body, such as the wife, children, society, and country, also changes along with the change of the body. This is called samsara, or repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. We would like to find a solution to all these problems of life, but we do not know the way. Herein, it is suggested that anyone who wants to make an end to these miseries of life, namely repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must take to this process of worshipping the Supreme Lord and not others. As it is also ultimately suggested in the Bhagavad Gita 18:65, if we at all want to end the cause of our conditioned life, we must take to the worship of Lord Sri Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart by his natural affection for all living beings who are actually parts and parcels of the Lord. That's a really interesting point now. We'll come back to that later. The baby in the lap of his mother is naturally attached to the mother, and the mother is attached to the child. But when a child grows up and becomes overwhelmed by circumstances, he gradually becomes detached from the mother, although the mother always expects some sort of service from the grown-up child and is equally affectionate toward her child, even though the child is forgetful. Similarly, we are all part and parcel of the Lord. The Lord is always affectionate to us, and He always tries to get us back home, back to Godhead. But we, the conditioned souls, do not care for Him and run instead after the illusory bodily connections. We must therefore extricate ourselves from all illusory connections of the world and seek a reunion with the Lord, trying to render service unto Him because He is the ultimate truth. Actually, we are hankering after Him as a child seeks the mother. And to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we need not go anywhere else because the Lord is within our hearts. This does not suggest, however, that we should not go to the places of worship, namely the temples, the churches, and the mosques. Such holy places of worship are also occupied by the Lord because the Lord is omnipresent. For the common man, these holy places are centers of learning about the science of God. When the temples are devoid of activities, the people in general become uninterested in such places, and consequently the mass of people gradually become godless, and a godless civilization is the result. Such a hellish civilization artificially increases the conditions of life, and existence becomes intolerable for everyone. The foolish leaders of a godless civilization try to devise various plans to bring about peace and prosperity in the godless world under a patent trademark of materialism. And because such attempts are illusory only, the people elect incompetent, blind leaders one after another who are incapable of offering solutions. If we want to all to end this anomaly of a godless civilization, we must follow the principles of revealed scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and follow the instruction of a person like Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who has no attraction for material gain. Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pujarine Nivajesu Nivadi Pastajade Shisarine Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirvita Grada Chivasti Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakaupa Trubhya Chakri Pasindu Bhya Vajra Piditana Pavani Bhya Vaishnava Vibhya Namaha Om Vishnu Bhadai Krishna Sampurlesh Mati Shivaram Swami Tinamini. Jaya. So it's a lot in that purport. So last time I spoke here, giving class, was actually 2 years ago. And yeah, 2 years just before the pandemic. Sorry, did I say pandemic? No, pandemic. Sorry. So, you know, a lot has happened since in 2 years. Everything's changed. So many things have changed now. You can't even get on a flight and go to a different country without having to go through so much difficulty. Isn't it? Nothing remains the same. So, because the material world is always changing, Srila Prabhupada explains that in the purport. It's constantly changing. Always changing. So whatever situation we're in at the moment, we can understand that, you know, maybe 2 years' time, a year's time, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years definitely, 30 years definitely, 40 years. Some of us may not be here still. But even 30 years, 20 years, some of us may not be here, right? So, but this is the nature of the material world. It's constantly changing, constantly changing, constantly changing. We're attached to our wives, our children. It says in the purport, Prabhupada explains that at the beginning. We think that this is the be-all and end-all, and we give all our energy to this, to our wives and children. But we've had so many wives and children. Trillions and trillions and trillions. But we don't remember any of them. And we're not attached to any of them, are we? Why? Because we don't remember. We don't remember any of them. It's just a situation we're in at the moment. That we're focusing at the moment. Why? Because that is a situation that we remember. We're here now. And because we remember, and Krishna's in our heart, and it gives us the intelligence to remember. We think that this is the be all and end all, and this is what I should focus my life on. So Prabhupada gives the example like we're searching in the desert for water, and that's what people are doing now. You go in the streets, you go in Oxford Street, we're doing Harinam there regularly. And just hundreds of people. They're just wandering here and there. And, you know, some of them are shopping. Some of them are working. Some of them are they don't even know what they're doing. Maybe they're drunk. They're on the street. Where are they going? No, they're all searching for happiness. Where's happiness? Where's happiness? Where's happiness? Because the spirit soul is Satchitananda, full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. It's natural for us to want to search for happiness. Prabhupada explains, says that in a purport. It's nothing unnatural. That's the nature of the living entity, to want to be happy. It's natural. But unfortunately, they're searching for happiness in the wrong place, in the desert. If you're searching for water in the desert, wouldn't that be foolish? Yeah? Be crazy. Prabhupada gives an example. Searching for water in the desert. So Srila Bhagavatam is explained to us, give up this nonsensical search for water in the desert. And instead, go to the reservoirs of water, the ocean, where there's unlimited amount of water in the ocean. You know, you stand on the shore of the ocean, it's huge. Yeah? And not only that, all the tributaries and all the rivers and reservoirs, they all flow into the ocean. So the ocean's never going to dry up. It's unlimited. But instead, you know, people go into the desert. Let me find water. Chewing the chew, the same thing over and over again. It just repeats in the mature world, the same old stuff. Same old thing. So, what's been going on at the moment? This chapter is described the Lord in the heart. In the previous chapter was the universal form. So, Krishna can be understood in three phases, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is taking us now into different aspects of God realization. Previously was the Virata Rupa, right? Everyone, Virata Rupa is a temporary manifestation, it's an impersonal form of God, Krishna. It's for the impersonalists and the materialists, because they don't believe that God has a form and is in a particular place. Yeah? So then Krishna says, all right, worship this form. Just like the materialists, they worship the Virata Rupa with awe and wonder. There was once, there was a great explorer, Sir something, I forgot his name. He'd climbed the Mount Everest about three times or something. And he said, whenever I go to the Himalayas and see the peaks of the Himalayan mountains, I always think, well, there must be something greater up there that's created this, something which is way beyond anything on this material planet. So in this way, they may not be God conscious, but still they're appreciating Krishna's energy in a certain way. Yeah, when you look at the moon, you look at the sun, they can see that, you know, what is that? There must be something higher. They can appreciate the beauty of the sun, how it gives us heat and light, and the moon, how cooling the moon is, and the oceans and rivers, how they're nourishing the planet. Without the rivers and the oceans, we wouldn't survive. So in this way, they're appreciating Krishna. They're appreciating Krishna's beauty, and they're making some spiritual advancement. And then this chapter goes on explaining about the Lord in our heart. It's focusing more on Krishna. It's coming closer and closer to Krishna as being a person. Yeah. So, and it starts off with quite, like the previous chapter, the previous verse, and the verse before that, it was quite intense in a sense. It was all about renunciation. Yeah? So how we should give up all the attachment to the material world and just renounce everything. And when you read that, you think, well, how does this apply to me? Because, you know, I'm not a renunciate. I don't, you know, I don't even have the desire to want to renounce or live under a tree or do anything like this, you know. So, but we can take the essence of that instruction. And the essence of that instruction is only live according to your means. Don't go beyond your means. So the renunciation applies to everyone, whether you're a grahastha or a renunciate. But the essence is, don't go beyond your means, you know. Because Krishna's provided everything for us. So why do we need to artificially create situations which is sucking our energy and our time? Because that's what it is. That's what our modern day existence does. They artificially create situations that, and then they say, yeah, this is a lot better. This is a lot better. Like now, the whole thing is changing from internal combustion engines, which run on fossil fuel, they're changing it all into electric vehicles. Right, and they're forcing everyone to go from combustion engines into electric. But if you really analyze it, it's the same thing. You know, they're still destroying the atmosphere. They're still destroying the planet, you know. Because what do they do with the batteries? They have these huge batteries in these cars, and what are they going to do with them when the car no longer is alive, it's dead? They're going to bury the batteries in the earth, right? Or they have to dispose of them somehow. And that's going to pollute the atmosphere. Imagine there's billions and billions and billions of vehicles. Everyone's using electric cars. So they're burying them, and it's going to destroy the planet that way. And also they say it's 100%, they always say zero emission, right? But that's not true because they run on electricity. Unless the electricity is supplied through wind power or something natural, then it's not going to be zero emission because most of the power stations in the UK still run on fossil fuel. They still run on coal, right? It's not like we're running on nuclear power. So how is it green? But the corrupt leaders in society, they brainwash people to think that now we're changing to something green because we really want to take care of our planet. But the only thing they're interested in, Prabhupada explains over and over again in his books, is they're just interested in manipulating the innocent public and taking money off them, taxing them. So now we have green taxes. Sorry, I'm getting too much into politics. We should move on soon. But Prabhupada mentions in the purple how, you know, we're electing corrupt leaders. Yeah, and in the name of cleaning the planet up and, you know, let's all be green, they're actually just taxing people. And I actually worked it out. An average person spends maybe £2,000 to £5,000 on a car, right? Unless you're really, really wealthy. But that's an average person. So an average electric car will cost us around 45 to 50,000, right? So I kind of worked it out. I did my calculations a bit. I mean, the amount of driving I do, I would have to drive that car for 25-30 years before I even start getting, before I even start saving some money, right? So why would I want to spend £40,000-£50,000 on something which is only going to probably last 10 years because everything's temporary in this material world and everything deteriorates as soon as you start using it, right? But people, they just get fooled by this because the corrupt leaders, that's what they're doing. They're creating certain situations in society, just like we're all been going through the last 2 years, being locked up. We've been locked up because it's serious. The pandemic was serious. It was killing a lot of people. But, you know, In a mature world, everyone's dying every day. Right? There's one thing we can be sure of: death and taxes. Was it death and taxes? Was it two? Death, right? People are dying every day. Yeah. So these leaders, they see a situation where they can create even more discomfort for people instead of helping the society. Yeah, let's create even more, and in this way we can become more wealthy, become more rich, because they do not care. So the question is, why should we put all our faith in these people? Why should we put our trust in these people? I certainly don't. So our faith and trust should be in the words of the Supreme Lord, specifically the words which are coming out of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That should be our trust. Yeah. So Prabhupada explains, he said, if we all want to become... Okay, it's interesting what Prabhupada said. This point Prabhupada was making in the purple. He says, if we at all want to end the cause of our condition, the life we must take to the worship of Lord Sri Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart by his natural affection for all living beings, who are actually the parts and parcels of the Lord. So it's interesting, Prabhupada writes here, that we should take shelter of the Supreme Lord who is in the hearts of all living entities. He's not saying we should take shelter of the Supreme Lord who is in our hearts. He's in the hearts of all living entities. And why is he in everyone's heart? Because he has a natural affection for all living entities. It's there. Yeah. Yeah. So Krishna, he's so kind. He's so kind. Yeah, he has so much affection and compassion for us that he's following us everywhere we go. Yeah. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Ride Sajuna Tishtati Brahmayan Bhutani Yantaradani Mayaya. So we're seated in this material body. Yantra is a machine, and Brahmayan, we go into different parts of the universe, different universes. Sometimes we're in a body of a demigod, and sometimes we're in a body of an ant, and sometimes we're human beings, like now. But Krishna is so kind that he follows us everywhere we go. That's a good friend, isn't it? Does anybody got a friend that would do that? Would any friend follow you to heaven and hell? I don't think so. There's a certain limit, isn't there? I'll follow you to heaven, but hell? That's where I stop being your friend. So Krishna is the ultimate friend to all living entities. Once, Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was passing through the forest, and he was going to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. and he was drinking all the water, different places, and because of this, he'd contracted an infection, disease, a skin infection. And so he went to Lord Chaitanya. And first thing Lord Chaitanya did was embrace Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami was like, well, he really didn't want Lord Chaitanya to embrace him because all his sores were oozing pus and everything. And when Lord Chaitanya embraced him, all the sores, all the pus went on Lord Chaitanya's body. And Sanatana Goswami was really distressed because of this, and he was even contemplating suicide because he's thinking, well, you know, Lord Chaitanya's Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's embracing me and touching my disgusting body, and it smells. So in Lord Chaitanya, there was Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya met them both, And Lord Chaitanya knew Haridas Goswami's heart, and immediately started saying to Haridas Thakur, this man, he wants to destroy the property of someone else. Because his body doesn't belong to him, it actually belongs to me. And I have plans to use his body in Krishna's service. And then Lord Chaitanya said, you know, he said, I have so much affection for you two. You're like my children. You're like my boys, you know. the mother, and then he used the example, the mother is changing the baby's nappy and stool touches the mother's skin. But to the mother, it's like sandalwood, and she can smell the stool, but she doesn't think, oh, it's disgusting. She can tolerate it. Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya used this example, and he said, yeah, you know, you're like my children. He said, Satan, whenever I embrace you, I can smell camphor and sandalwood and all these amazing ingredients, you know. I don't smell anything nasty. So, yeah. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya is, you know, he's got so much affection for his devotees and also for every living entity. So, he's Nama Mahavadanaya, he's the most compassionate. So, if we really want to advance in spiritual life, if we want to move on, we have to really kind of, in one sense, imbibe this same mood of compassion. And because a devotee, he sees Krishna in everyone's heart, not just his own heart. He sees Krishna in all the hearts of all the living beings. Yeah, he sees that the material world is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. And therefore, we should also kind of like develop this vision that Krishna is in everyone's heart. Krishna is in the heart of all the devotees, and we have to be affectionate towards each other. Right? If you want to advance in spiritual life, Sadhu Sangha is a very important activity in spiritual life. Out of the 64 angas of devotional service, there are five which are most important. Right? Chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity, Sadhu Sangha, Harinam Sankirtan. And what is the other one? Srimad Bhagavatam. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Out of those five, which is the most important? Out of those five, which is the most important? It's chanting Hare Krishna, isn't it? Because chanting Hare Krishna is the Yuga Dharma for this age. And only by chanting Hare Krishna are we really going to connect to Krishna. But at the same time, it doesn't mean the others are not important. Chanting Hare Krishna is the most important, but the others are also just as important. In the sense that whatever we do outside of chanting Hare Krishna, it facilitates our chanting Hare Krishna. So another one of those is Sadhu Sangha. Yeah, Sadhu Sangha. Krishna's in the heart of all the devotees. Yeah. Sometimes we may think something not so good about another devotee. Yeah. Most of the offenses we commit are actually in our own mind. Right? And if we don't check it, then it will manifest externally. Yeah. Sometimes we think, oh, that devotee said this, or that devotee said that, or this person done that. Right? This person said this. So how do we deal with it? If someone's being impersonal towards us, because we live in an impersonal society. We're conditioned, right? So we may be very impersonal in certain situations. Yeah? So we have to chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw in a street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. And offering all respect to others means that we shouldn't expect anything in return. As soon as we expect something in return, then that's material, isn't it? Right? I expect something. But devotion service is only abhilasa sita sunyam gyana kumadi yanavritam. It's free from the desire of karma and anything. It's material. Right? So we shouldn't. So offering respect to others means I don't expect anything in return for it. That's pure devotional service. Yeah? So because Krishna's affection is to all living entities, then we also have to be affectionate like that. Imbibe the same mood as Lord Chaitanya. Right? And if we're not affectionate towards the devotees, then we can't be affectionate towards people outside who are running after water in the desert and dying of thirst. Right? If you saw someone in the desert who was dying of thirst and you had unlimited amount of water and you didn't give it to them, would that be wrong? Or it would be wrong, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be right. That would affect our consciousness. Right? Because the devotee is meant to be compassionate. Yeah. So starts with the devotees, then outside. Yeah. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in the next of instruction different how to relate to devotees. Sometimes we forget because and we need to kind of go back to the books because they're there for our benefit. You know, there's different. There's Madhyam, there's Kanishtha Madhyam Uttama. So there's different ways. First of all, you've got to recognize the different types of devotees. And once you recognize them, then there's a certain way of dealing with everyone. Right? You wouldn't deal with an Uttama the way you would a Madhyam. And you wouldn't deal with a Madhyam the way you would an Uttama. Although I'm sure it's happened in the past in ISKCON. Yeah. Because you would be committing offenses. So it's important. And then we need to give Krishna to others because Krishna's in their heart and they're suffering. Yeah. So this is the consciousness of a devotee to be all compassionate. So Prabhupada's given us the process, you know. In this chapter, it's quite mechanical, the yogis meditating on the Paramatma. It's quite a mechanical process. But we don't do that in this age. In this age, you all know what it is. What is it? Harinam Sankirtan, isn't it? That is the process in this age. this is more for previous ages that we're doing this. It's Paramatma realization. So we go into Bhagavan, because Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full in all opulences. And his opulence of power is exhibited in these verses and chapters. Like this. So we should try to preach as much as we can. Go out on Harinam Sankirtan and distribute Prabhupada's books. Because we're searching for happiness, right? Prabhupada says in the book, we're searching for happiness, searching for this. And even as devotees, sometimes we become sidetracked, right? You may be a grahastha and you've got so many responsibilities, right? And that becomes your main focus. And because we don't read Prabhupada's books enough, we forget. We forget. So the process of Harinam Sankirtan, it has different aspects to it. One is that Sankirtan purifies the performer. The second thing is it purifies the receiver. Alright? So Sankirtan is just as much for us as it is for them. Or even more for us. So we shouldn't think I'm just going out just to help others. No, I'm going out for myself first. And then the other thing automatically happens. Because we're preaching Krishna consciousness to people. So a devotee, because he has Bhagavan realization, he has full realization of Krishna. You know? So just like, for example, imagine there's a river, right? And you have the materialist, and then you have the impersonalist yogis, and then you have the devotees. So each one of them would see that with different vision, right? The materialist sees a beautiful river on a summer's day. What is he thinking? He's thinking, how can I enjoy this? I can take my family, my wife on a boat, and we can eat some ice cream, just enjoy the day, have a picnic or something, right? The yogis and impersonalists, they see a river. What are they thinking? Well, they're not thinking anything, because for them it's just illusion, doesn't even exist, right? It's just because they're selfish, they're just focused on themselves, right? But a devotee sees a river, what's he thinking? He's thinking, oh, this is an opportunity to perform Harinam Sankirtan, opportunity to preach. Maybe I can buy a boat and we can go on the river and do Harinam or something. Maybe we can have, it's a nice place to do Harinam along the river. Yeah, give out some books. We can have a devotee prasadam picnic and people can take some prasadam. All right. Same thing, three people, different vision. Right? But a devotee has full realization, whereas the other two, it's selfish and it's impartial. It's not full. So, can't think of the word. Yeah. So just like lately, we've been talking a lot about, I've been hearing in verses about self-sufficiency and Varnashram, right? I was thinking, so it may not be the right time for Varnashram to happen right now. I think because the world situation may be such that it's not right. But that doesn't mean that we still shouldn't be focused and ready. Because when the time is right, are we going to be ready to accept it? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. We may not be ready at the moment, but that doesn't matter. We should still be focused on Krishna. We should be focused on doing what Prabhupada wants us to do. And that starts with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, following correctly, chanting our rounds, Sadhu Sangha, associating nicely with devotees. And also planning. There's many devotees who have expert minds and they can plan. So when the time is right, when Krishna wants the time to be right, we're ready. So the question we should be asking ourselves, do I want to be a part of it or not? Or is someone else going to do it? So if you're going to be a part of it, let's carry on focusing our spiritual life. Yeah? But don't forget about being compassionate and affectionate to all living beings. Yeah. So devotee is using everything. I was chanting at the Goshala the other day, and I was seeing the devotees, how they're bringing the balls in and how they're working. There's about four or five devotees there working with the bulls and the cows. It was really nice to just watch. It's amazing, actually, the situation, the facility we got here. because devotees, we have the highest philosophy and the highest understanding, Yeah? So a devotee, he's using everything in Krishna's service. He's using the sun, the moon, the rain. He goes to the field, he sows a seed. Yeah, and due to the power of the sun, the seed, it grows, and in water, in the form of rain, and air, and everything, it grows into a beautiful vegetable or something. And then he takes that vegetable to the kitchen, and he prepares a beautiful meal, and he offers it to Krishna, and it becomes prasad. So the devotee, he's using everything in Krishna's service, the whole material manifestation, everything. But only the devotee has full realization of what's happening. Others, they don't. And why does he? Because he's fixed in serving Krishna, not anyone else, who is incomplete in everything they do. And not only that, devotee is the only one that has proper affection and compassion for all living beings in Krishna's creation. So I'm going to stop here. Gone on enough. Does anybody have any questions or any comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, such a nice class, even after 2 years. Amazing. My question is quite basic, but I would just like to know from your experience or what you've heard. At the start, you said, I can paraphrase, but you read that, so even if you've got a temple at home or Krishna is in your heart, you don't, like some people don't necessarily need to go to the temple. So in preaching, generally when I've spoken to all sorts of people, not just one type, but they've always said, like, oh, like, you know, God's in our heart, and why do we need to even visit the temple? Oh, we have a small altar at home, and we do our prayers, and that's sufficient. We don't need to go to the temple. I mean, how do you, what would you say to them in terms of when you're preaching?
Well, Prabhupada explains in the purport. He says, temples are places of education. He says that in this purport. Yeah? If Krishna's in our heart, right, are we Paramatma realized where we can actually focus on what Krishna wants us to do? In the Bhagavad Gita is that verse, when the mind is controlled, when one controls the mind, the super soul is already reached. That means one has to be in a mode of goodness to be able to hear what the super soul is really saying. Yeah? Yeah. So therefore we need association of devotees. And the temple, as Prabhupada said, is the places of education where you come in here and associate with devotees and learn. Or how are we going to know? I mean, the super soul is there guiding everyone. It even guides the non-devotees. Right? So Vasya Chahan Ridhi Sani Visto Mataha Smriti Gyanam Opananam Chai is in our heart. And from Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He helps us forget. We're forgetting all our previous lives. That's Krishna's mercy. Imagine if you remembered. It would be difficult. Right? And Krishna helps us remember. I was on book distribution once in Exeter. I was distributing books to one. I stopped to one young boy and I gave him a book. And a Science of Self-Realization, and he put it in his hand. And he said, oh, that's amazing. He said, I've been sitting at home for 2 weeks doing nothing in my room. He said, but all of a sudden I had this sudden urge to just want to catch a bus and go into town. And I was in Exeter, and Exeter is a big city. So it's a big, you know, it's probably a long journey. And he said, I never do this. I said, I don't know why. And he said, I came into town and I've been running, walking around aimlessly, not wondering, what am I doing here? And he said, until now, I know what I'm doing here. He got the book. And I said to him, yeah, because this is the reason why you're here. Yeah. So the super soul speaks to you, even guides non-devotees. But the way he deals with non-devotees is different to the way he deals with devotees. Right? Yeah, and because Krishna says, according to our realization, according to our surrender, he reciprocates, right? So he's reciprocating with non-devotees. He's always giving them an opportunity to take Krishna consciousness. But it's up to us, also as devotees, to make sure we're there. Because if I wasn't there that day in the town, there's no reason for the super soul to guide him to the town centre, is there? Because I'm not there. No one there. Right? So that's another reason to go out and meet people and preach. because Krishna is so affectionate, he's in the heart, he's constantly thinking of ways to bring people to Krishna consciousness. But if we're not there, if we're not making ourselves present, then Krishna can't send anyone, even though he wants to. Yeah? So, so unless your Paramatma realized, then you have to come to the temples and worship. Krishna's here is the archer of Vigraha. But a devotee sees that non-different as Krishna. Fully in all opulences. And that's a higher realization, just understanding Krishna as a super soul in the heart. Right? So, you know, we need to come to temples, places of education, places of learning, places of opportunity to associate with devotees and see Krishna. Same with Prabhupada mentions mosques. He doesn't say temples, he says mosques and churches in the purple. Krishna consciousness is just not limited. It's, you know, people go to mosques, they go to churches to see God. Because if we don't, we're going to ultimately be misdirected because of our mind. We're thinking the super soul is telling me to do something, but it's actually, it might just be the mind, you know. So how are we going to know? Sadhu Shastra Guru. You have to approach these sadhus, Shastra. The sadhus are introducing you to Shastra. They're inspiring you to read Shastra and then the guru, like that. Does that answer your question? It does. Good. Yeah? Okay. Gyantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.